This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, God has a word for us on today, so I'm not going to waste any time. Let's go to God in prayer right now. Let's go to God in prayer while the Spirit is moving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you right now in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us. He is our all in all. God, you are everything. And we give you grace. We give you praise right now. We give you praise right now. We give you praise right now. We give you praise right now, right now, right now. Lord, even as you're moving, even over the TV screen, over the computer screen, over the phone, over whatever device, even over the telephone devices for those that can't see but are listening in, we give you praise right now, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, right now for how you're moving right now, Lord. We ask you to have your way, Lord, as we open our Bibles, Lord. We pray you open your mouth. That you not hear from Marco, but you hear that we hear from you, Lord. When we open our Bible, you open your mouth, Lord. So we want to hear a word from you this morning. Have your way in this place. We thank you as we celebrate Mother's Day, Lord. Mother's Day 2020, we thank you. We give you the glory, the honor, praise. As you're already doing in this worship experience, continue to have your way in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, it's Mother's Day, and we are here worshiping on today. I thank God for my mother who gave birth to me, Miss Carolyn George. She's out there hopefully watching somewhere, wherever she may be. We thank God for her. I thank God for my wife, Myra George, who is the mother of my children. We have 5 children, and God has blessed us, from our oldest with 1 grandson. I thank God for her on this morning. We give honor to all the mothers out there. We give honor to women in general, those who are soon to be mothers, those who desire to be mothers, those who are mothers, who are surrogate mothers, who are standing in. They may not be the mother biologically, but they are fulfilling that role. We want to honor each and every one of you. Mother's Day. Mother's Day is the day when families pay special tribute to their moms in various ways. We take them out to dinner, we buy them special gifts, but the sad thing is oftentimes Mother's Day is really just a time when families try to atone for an entire year of neglect and disrespect and for a lack of appreciation. It shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it is. Now, most people agree, whether they are Christian or not, that we are living in a post-Christian era. That doesn't mean that Christianity is dead or that the church is dead. But what it means is that the influence that biblical Christianity once had on our nation, on our culture, has diminished to a point that it wouldn't be recognized by Christians 100 or 200 years ago. And that includes morality, education, social actions, and maybe most importantly, parenting. Basically, what has happened is that secular humanistic reasoning has taken the place of biblical truth when it comes to setting the parameters for the home and family. By contrast, a Christian should be one who sees the home and marriage and parenting as framed within the parameters of God's infallible and authoritative word, the Bible. The truth of God's word should not only shape our beliefs and practices in all areas in our lives, but they are absolutes that guide us through life. Therefore, our opinions and our beliefs are only legitimately Christian to the degree that they line up with God's word. The problem is that today our minds have been darkened by secularism and sin. Yeah, I said it, sin, S-I-N, a big I in the middle of sin. And a lot of folks can't tell if something is biblical or secular at all. We expect that from the world, but we are actually seeing the same thing within the church sometimes. The trend that we are seeing in the church is that church folks are acknowledging the sufficiency of God in the Bible, but they fail to see a need to subject their personal opinions, reasoning, and emotions to the guidelines of Scripture in all areas of their life, including what happens in the home. We read something like Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we think that only applies to our moral behavior, but not to things like marriage or raising kids. Instead, we leave those things up to pop psychologists and talk show hosts. But all of our relationships should be directed by the truth of Scripture. Whether it's education, finances, political involvement, our jobs, our marriages, and more importantly, our parenting. Having said that, turn with me again to Proverbs 31. You've heard it read already in your hearing earlier. We want to read it once again. Proverbs 31, we'll start at verse 10, and we'll read into your hearing from the ESV. Read along with me silently as I read aloud. It says, "An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the ship of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come, and she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Listen to this. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." Now, before I get into this passage, 2 points of random knowledge I want to share with you from Proverbs 10 through 31. Proverbs 10, 31 are an alphabetic acrostic in Hebrew. In other words, in literal Hebrew language, each verse begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet in order. Isn't God cool? Secondly, the word or phrases that are translated virtuous in the New King James or of noble character in the NIV and excellent in the ESV is the Hebrew word she'el, which literally means strength and valor and in all ways excellent. And we believe here at First African that we strive for excellence in kingdom building. Throughout the Bible, this word is translated as able or capable 8 times. It's translated as strength 10 times and as valiant over 40 times. And basically, it refers to moral strength, integrity, and efficiency. Now, as we look through these verses, we'll get a good understanding of what the writer meant by virtuous or excellent. I personally see at least 5 qualities there. There might be more, but I see 5. If you look at verse 11, 12, and 23, you'll see the first one, that you see that she is trustworthy and devoted. She has her husband's confidence and she enhances his reputation. Second, she is a woman of diligence and wisdom. You look verses 13 through 19, you'll see she's not afraid to work. She's a wise shopper and she plans ahead. Three, she's a giving person. Verse 20 says that she extends her hand to the poor. In other words, she has planned ahead well enough to be able to not only take care of her family's need, but also the needs of the poor in her society. Four, she is dependable. See that in verse 15, verse 21, and verse 27. When adversity comes, be it bad weather or something else, COVID-19, coronavirus, you know she's already got a plan to deal with whatever it might be. Lastly, she's a woman who loves the Lord. We see that by reading all the verses of our text. She is someone who is guided and directed by God's word and God's wisdom. Now, ladies, you might read through that and say yourselves, this isn't describing a woman, it's describing superwoman. And that's actually a pretty good assessment. It's describing a woman who is living in a supernatural way with a supernatural God. It has to be that way because there are a few things that are more important. There are very few things that are more important to society than godly mothers. The Bible is clear in its teaching, both explicit and implicit. The Bible is very clear that the family is the foundation of society. While fathers are responsible for the way the family goes, mothers are the glue that hold the family together. I often say, while fathers are the head of the household, the mothers are the neck that turneth the head. So since moms are so important to the family and society, I want to really quickly look at some of the problems they face so that the rest of us can really show our appreciation on this Mother's Day, and not just Mother's Day, but every day of the year. First of all, men, listen close, lean in. I want you to get this, guys. We need to look at motherhood and femininity with respect. Let me stress that I said femininity, not feminism. See, the Bible warns us over and over again about the anti-Christian forces that are constantly at work to get us to adopt the values and attitudes of the world. But again, Romans 12 tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world's pattern. We are not supposed to be shoved into the mold that the world has for us. And let me just be blunt and tell you what I mean by this. Motherhood is more important than having a career. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that a woman can't do both. I'm just saying that it's important they understand which one is more important. Secondly, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away." Now, you notice what Paul was saying there to Timothy. He told Timothy that The perilous times will come in the last days because people, presidents, governors, I mean people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boasting, pride, and blasphemy. All sins of pride that comes from loving oneself. Disobedience to parents and unthankfulness also comes from a sense of over-exaggerated self-worth. It goes on, but this is the world we live in. And so, what do you think this does to the woman who by her very nature of her creation is geared to needing love and affection and reassurance? What it does do when husbands, men, talking to you right now, when husbands love himself more than his wife, or when he loves money more than his wife, what it does, you see, we see the very first attack early in the Bible against the wife, and it immediately affected the home. We go back to Genesis and we see the fall that affected us all. Satan still attacks us today, including moms and wives. But then you couple that with the fact that people, sometimes husbands, are lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They are proud. Kids are sometimes disobedient. People are unthankful, unloving, and these humanistic, unbiblical ideas and beliefs and behavioral patterns affect the family and the home, and especially mothers, because she is the keeper of the home. Now, those of us who are husbands and fathers, we need to take note. Because even though our wives are to be the keepers of the home, we're supposed to be the protectors of the home. In other words, we should not allow these sorts of things to infiltrate our home, our lives, and the lives of our families. We can't do a whole lot about it out in the world, but we can make sure it isn't infiltrating our homes. Turn with me quickly to Ephesians 5, 23 through 29. Ephesians 5, 23 through 29. Or back up to 22. We look and say, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. So that passage clearly says that husbands are the head of the house, but it also says that we ought to love our wives just like Jesus loves the church. In other words, we ought to love our wives sacrificially. Let me just tell you, if we fail to love our wives like this, what we are doing is disobeying a commandment given to us from God's word, and we are distorting the picture of marriage that provides, the picture that marriage provides to the world of Christ and the church. You've heard the saying, as goes the home, so goes the church, and as goes the church, so goes the world. The world is in the condition it is in because the church has failed the world. The church is in the condition that it is because the family has failed the church. The family is in the condition that it is because the husband has failed his wife. Can't say amen, just say oh me. This passage goes on to say again that the Christian marriage is the picture of Christ and his church to an unbelieving world. Secondly, husbands, fathers, if we fail to love our wives like this, we sin against our wives and our children because our children pick up our attitudes and actions. Children learn what they live and then they turn out and live what they've learned. There's one thing that gets me riled up, that gets me hot under the collar, that gets me warm is seeing kids disrespect their mother. Causes my blood to boil. Just ask my oldest son. He might be tired, a little aggravated. His mama asked him to do something. She ain't got to ask him. She could tell him. But she usually asks him, and I catch his tone, and I have to lean in. And sometimes I want to lay hands on him, and I ain't talking about no praying hands. But I have to remind him, boy, that's my wife you're talking to. See, a lot of times they pick that attitude up from their own father. I have to see. I ask him, did you ever see me talk to your mama like that? Did you ever see me disrespect your mother? Because if so, I want to correct my actions. Tell you right now, it's not tolerated in my house, and it shouldn't be tolerated in any of your houses. Let's turn back. Let's go back to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. See, in Proverbs 31, in our text, that the demands on mothers are awesome. It's a great demand. They include grocery shopping, preparing meals for very picky eaters sometimes. My kids have all kind of allergies and they can't eat this, can't eat that. So trying to juggle that along with what you like to eat that they may be allergic to. Includes the washing and the ironing, the house cleaning, caring for the many needs of the family, and on and on and again and again. And we look at this list and we go, and I think that the lady that's doing all these things could very well be a basket case. So in the time left, I want to quickly talk about how moms can handle all of this without going ballistic, without losing their minds, especially doing this time of sheltering in when moms are spending more time with their kids than they may be used to, when moms have what I would say a new appreciation for teachers. Yeah, some of y'all think little Johnny is an angel, but little Johnny is a terror, and you've been sending him off to the schoolhouse and he's been giving the teacher pure hell. And now you got little Johnny and little Sally and all the rest of them there in the house together that you used to sending off to the daycare or the schoolhouse, and now you're having to deal with them. So we're gonna just talk about a few things. We've already touched on one important part, and that is the necessity of a loving husband and obedient kids. That's if the husband's even home. So guys, I want you to understand, we're failing. So I want to encourage you to love your wife sacrificially. That means to help out. That doesn't mean to go into your man cave just because you're the breadwinner. That doesn't mean to go into your man cave and veg out and watch your nothing box. Again, if you can't say amen, just say oh me. It is not beneath us to do laundry. It is not beneath us to go grocery shopping. It is not beneath us to occasionally do the dishes. You notice how I said occasionally? See, that shows that even preachers sometimes have this pull of the world on us where we try to skirt issues and twist things to suit us. I have kids who are old enough to wash dishes. We have an electronic dishwasher, but I have three dishwashers that live in my house right now. Still trying to get myself out of it. It's not beneath us to do the dishes either occasionally or indeed, if need be, often. That's one way we can help our wives be virtuous women. One of the things, I enjoy shopping, so I do most of the grocery shopping in my house. I've taken my kids grocery shopping with me so that they can learn. See, I'm a bargain shopper. I can't complain about the grocery bill because that's the highest bill in my house. My kids love to eat. I can't complain about the grocery bill if I'm doing the shopping. So the suit that, we make a list, and I do the shopping. I clip coupons. I do all that to take that one thing off of my wife. Helping out around the house. Secondly, one of the... Again, if you can't say amen, say oh me. Secondly, this one is on the wives and the moms. Hear me in this now. I'm almost finished. Moms, wives, we need to have our priorities straight. In Luke chapter 10, we read the story about Mary and Martha and Jesus. Jesus had come to their house, and Mary found the time to sit at Jesus' feet, to be near him and to learn from him. While Martha got involved in busy work, she found plenty of things to do so that she didn't have time to get alone and be with Jesus. Now, she should have found time, and she would never have admitted that she was just doing busy work to keep from doing what Jesus was calling her to do. But if you read the passage carefully, that's what it implies. Then she even complained to Jesus about Mary's unwillingness to join her in her sin. Now, I hope everyone realizes that this is the same Mary that goes to the tomb and is the first person to see the resurrected Lord. She was then commissioned to be the first evangelist. Jesus told her to go and tell the others. And what we learn from this is that moms need to make Mary's priority their own priority. It doesn't mean that they ignore the other duties of motherhood. It means that they prioritize and have their priorities straight. On the flip side, mothers who end up making Martha's priorities their own end up like Martha. They find themselves full of resentment, self-pity, and tension. Jesus himself took time to pray and be alone with his heavenly Father. So how much more do we need to spend time with him? Moms, do you find yourself so busy that you don't take time to sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to his word? Take your burdens and cares to him? The Bible makes it pretty clear that no wife or husband or mom or dad can be the kind of spouse or parent that God has called them to be without the Lord's help. In fact, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Or as my cousin Fred would say, Nathan. Now let's look at the last two verses, Proverbs 31, and then we'll close. Verse 30 and 31. Says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." The woman who finds her value in her looks will either be vain, they'll have so much plastic surgery and Botox done that they'll end up looking like something out of a horror show. Or she'll devalue her worth to the point of self-loathing because, let's face it, folks, gravity will affect us all. Age and gravity eventually sets in on all of we. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The woman who fears the Lord doesn't have to toot her own horn, and she doesn't have to brag or boast about what she's accomplished. Her own works will praise her. People will see it and know it. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband will praise her. So let me just encourage all you moms out there this morning. God doesn't call you to be perfect. He calls you to walk in his perfection. It's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, declares the Lord. See, some of us are burning the candle at both ends of the stick, but God is calling us to burn the oil. That is the oil of the Holy Spirit. Take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. In other words, take time to get into the Word of God. Read the Bible, study the Bible, learn the Bible, memorize the Bible. You do that, and before long, you'll find that you are living the Bible. Compare God's word to what this world says. Compare God's word to what Oprah and Dr. Phil and Tavis Smiley and Steve Harvey and whoever else out there on the talk show. Compare God's word to what they say. And if what they say doesn't line up with God's word is the litmus test. If it doesn't line up with God's word, then reject what they're saying. Reject the world's point of view and listen to what God is saying. And lastly, keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Lay aside every weight of sin that so easily besets us and look unto the author and finisher of our faith. It was that author and finisher of our faith that came down through 40 and two generations. He came down in the word of, in John it said, he was the word, he was with the word, and he was in the beginning with us. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. The same one that became flesh and dwelt among us, he was born as a baby in a manger, but he came to die. He died on Calvary's cross, but aren't you glad that the story doesn't stop there? For see, they took him down off that cross. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, all day Saturday, all night Friday night, all night Saturday night, but all day. On Sunday morning, he got up. He got up with all power. He got up with power over the grave, power over sickness and death, power over coronavirus, power over this pandemic that's worldwide right now. He got power. Resurrection power. He has power to give mothers the power that they need to do all that he's called them to be. Through his Holy Ghost power. Yeah. Thank you. The power of God wants to rest and reign and rule in your life, but you have to receive that power. I'm done, y'all. But before I go, I want to extend an invitation to you. I want to extend an invitation to you, wherever you are, wherever you may be, whatever's going on, hush the noise around you and lean in right now. This is the most important part of this whole message. Because I'd be remiss if you heard all of these good, encouraging words and you missed Jesus. See, more than anything, God is inviting us to receive his free will offering. See, salvation is free, but it cost Jesus his life. God is encouraging us. He's calling on us to accept his gift as fathers and as children. With mothers, we are buying gifts and cards and all types of things, and we're presenting them to our mothers. And if the mothers don't accept them, then that gift is just a wasted money, a waste of whatever we bought. In the same way, Jesus is the gift of God that brings salvation, and he is presenting himself as the gift, and we have to receive that gift. It says in his word that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart belief is made unto righteousness. The gift of God is waiting on you. We're going to go to God in prayer here in a minute. And you can pray wherever you are to receive that gift, the gift that saves us from the fires and flames and torments of hell and eternity with hell. Well, maybe you're saying, well, preacher, I've already done that, but I'm still miserable. Well, see, sometimes we've made the choice between heaven and hell, and we've punched our ticket and we've got our ticket to heaven, but we hadn't made the choice between heaven and earth. See, we're living an existence that's all about this world and not the world that God is calling us to be. Now, it's good to have nice things. It's good to live a nice life in this world. But this world is not our home. And in the scope of eternity, this is but a blip. It's like I blink my eyes. In the scope of eternity, this existence, mothers, as if you're 95, 100 plus years old, that is nothing but a blink of an eye in the scope of eternity. And we have to live eternity somewhere. So when we're living with eternity in our view, when we're living with a perspective of eternity, our living is different. We trust God in a different way. So maybe it's a time that if you're not receiving him for the first time, maybe it's a time that you want to rededicate and recommit yourself to living for him on this earth as it with heaven in our view. We're going to pray. And pray this prayer. Not so much the words I say, but communicate with God in your heart that you might receive his gift. Just like mothers are receiving gifts now, they may have gotten breakfast in bed and whatever else is going to happen throughout the rest of this day. Receive the gift. Jesus is calling. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves. As he's presented himself as a sacrifice, present yourselves. Let's go to God in prayer. Pray after me in this manner. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And God, I invite you into my life this morning. I invite you to do what only you can do. And that is to save me from my sin, to save me from my selfish self, to save me from my own destruction. And Lord, I believe that you died on Calvary's cross. I believe that you were buried. I believe that on the third day you arose. You got up from the grave with all power. And I believe that I could have that resurrection power that'll give me power over the sin in my life, power over the situation and circumstances in my life, that I might live for you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for saving me. And Lord, I'll promise that I'll tell others what you've done for me. I will gladly proclaim your name and I would not be ashamed of you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me back into your fellowship, even though I've done this before. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and bringing me back into fellowship with you. Thank you, Lord, for the loving mother that never gave up on me. Thank you, Lord, for all those praying grandmothers and mothers who are praying right now that their children would come home as our Heavenly Father is calling his prodigal child to come home. Thank you for accepting us to come home, for making room for us. Even now, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. This is your servant's prayer. Hallelujah.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.